After my sophomore year of college, I found out about, or during my sophomore year, I found out about a ministry that is a division of Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU, and it's a sports arm of them called Athletes in Action. And I applied and was chosen to play on a AIA basketball team in South America. We did a tour, it was about 5 weeks long, Peru, Ecuador, and Brazil. And it was my first missions experience, foreign missions experience, and it was meaningful work. We saw God at work, and basically what it was, there's a little newspaper article. You see number 14 in the background looking really stout, not so much. It was tough because I first discovered being in Latin America and, you know, you can't drink the water, so you buy bottled water. And then after a while, you realize, they put the bottle on tap water. And I was already skinny. I was less than 200 pounds, and I lost almost 20 pounds on top of that. And so, but very good weak side rebounding position if you know about, I'm sorry. But one thing, you see to the right, this was our basketball program. It's in Portuguese there, Athletes in Action. It's Atletas em Macau, or Atletas in Acción in Spanish. But the program was actually the CRU's Four Spiritual Laws. And so people, to see your pictures and go through the roster, you know, it was very intentional. We were very intentional on that trip to give these rosters out. People wanted them, wanted us to autograph them, but they're getting the message of Christ at the same time. And of course, part of the, you know, strategy was we would play a local team, a professional team, and then in a stadium, and the crowd would come. And then at halftime, somebody would share in the native tongue, share this plan of salvation, and somebody would share a testimony. My teammates would share a testimony, which would be translated into the local language. What happened to me was a very strong thought of, we're so intentional. We're given these game programs out, this gospel message. We're talking to people, continually looking, how can we get this message out? And it was just so clear to me, none of us do this back in the United States. Now, we do some of it, but none of us were this intentional. It was so clear, like, it's probably hard to picture, but in a country like Peru, I stand out a little bit. And so all eyes are on you, and you become very aware. You know, you look American. I'm 6'9". I'm standing out in this idea of I'm a role model. I'm an ambassador. I'm on a Christian basketball team. All eyes are on me. It was constant 24/7. And for me, the truth is, that was true of me back home. I just wasn't as mindful of it. I still was an ambassador, but was I as intentional about sharing Christ with the people around me, my classmates, my teammates, as I was these people I had never met before? And, you know, I, like you, get letters in the mail because somebody's daughter is going on a mission trip to Mexico, right? And they want me to give $150 to support her and her mission trip. And part of me is skeptical in this regard, because oftentimes some of these people who are sending me the letter, I know them well enough, that's why they're sending me the letter, that they have a Hispanic neighbor that lives right next door they've never spoken to. Why are we raising $5,000 for your daughter to go to Mexico to do something she refuses to do here? And you as parents refuse to do here. And to really be saucy, you've forbidden her from dating somebody who's Hispanic, but it's good enough to go to Latin America on this mission trip. There's a disconnect so often. And tonight I want us to, we're going to look at a scripture, and it really points out a lot of times we hear missions and we think somewhere else. We think Africa. We think Asia, South America. It's another city or another state. But Jesus very clearly said, for us to bloom where we're planted. Now, we're in this series talking about being sent. And last week, we talked about identity, that we would take on the identity not as a tourist who's just going about our business, but an ambassador. And there's a distinct difference when somebody's in a foreign land and they're a tourist. They're just gathering experiences and having fun. But an ambassador is on assignment, and they're taking the weight of responsibility quite seriously. Tonight, we're talking about proximity and that we would start where the Lord has placed us, and then we'll go on to talk about simplicity and vulnerability. Here is the scripture, the anchor verse for us today. And this is, again, the Lord says, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for my Holy Spirit to come upon you. And he says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, all Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, or to the ends of the earth. And this map shows what he's talking about. Jerusalem, the city, and then the region was Judea and Samaria, and then the ends of the earth was much broader than that. So he says, don't leave Jerusalem, wait for my Holy Spirit. And then when he says, you'll be my witnesses, he starts right there. Not Africa, not Asia, not the next region over, but right where I have you right now. Your own city, your own neighborhood, your own families, people you see every day. Jesus encouraged them to reach out to the people who were right in front of them. And there was no passport required. They didn't need to cross an ocean. Oftentimes they just needed to cross the room. That is our Jerusalem, and that's where you bloom. And again, in South America on that mission trip, I recognized it, but it was very much the same and true for me here. I just wasn't as mindful of it. That 24/7, I am representing the Lord. And instead of us asking, Lord, you know, where do you want me to go to be a witness? It might be a better question to say, God, what do you want me to do where you have already placed me right now? Because again, that's my Jerusalem. That's where I get to bloom. I'm ashamed to say, several years ago now, I attended my 30th high school reunion. I know, I look like I'm 25. It's shocking. And one of the biggest takeaway from my reunion was there were several of my female classmates who had gone through really abusive marriages. And then as I heard stories, that was a lot of pain that happened during high school. And at first I'm like, where was I? Was I that myopic? Was I just focused on myself and my basketball career that I missed the pain that these people were going through? And now in I realized I needed to give myself grace because I was very new in this, making my own faith journey personal, and I was still trying to figure things out. So I was very much of a mission field myself more than I was a missionary. And yet the good news in this situation was it showed me how much I changed. Like, I was so much more empathetic. I wanted to hear the story. I wanted to take the pain from these people that I hadn't seen in 30 years. And the question for all of us is, you know, what are you overlooking? What's right in front of you? Maybe a neighbor, a family member, a coworker, maybe somebody you see every day but haven't really seen, right? You know, the Lord uses language like this to have ears to hear. We all have ears, but it's different to have ears to hear. We all have eyes, but have eyes to see. To be intentional, that I absolutely intentionally care and want to help and serve someone else. And so I thought, well, Lord, how do you open our eyes? And five quick things, and you're going to be amazed at how fast these five things go, because I'm good like that. So the first thing is this, just pray every day. Pray prayers like, God, would you give me spiritual eyes to see what you see? Would you make me sensitive to the needs of those around me? Those are prayers that are absolutely in God's will he'll answer. I think some of us are a little nervous knowing he will answer that prayer because it's quite inconvenient. My wife has called me, like, you're a magnet for needy people. And like, I get the craziest requests, and it goes all the way back to when I was in college. And I don't know. I think the only reason is maybe because I'm tall and I stand out. I don't know. But I think because I make eye contact with people, and that's the only probably, you know, green light they need. Like, oh, I got one. And, you know, for me, I think I need to have the heart that God has. So I pray, God, would you show me? And then number two, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, his nudges. You might have a thought and you say, oh, I had the thought. Well, if the thought is you should ask that person if they're okay, that's probably not you. Like, that's not me. That's not the way I naturally think. I'm thinking I'm going to get another pizza or whatever, you know. I'm not naturally inclined to think that. It's probably the Lord nudging me. You get this little thought in your head or in your heart. To be sensitive, he's prompting you to speak. He might be prompting you to be quiet. So one, I pray. Two, I'm open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And then three, we need to practice by doing. You take action. We make mistakes. We do it imperfectly. We miss opportunities. We, you know, kick ourselves for the mistakes that we do. And yet, doing nothing is not an option for an ambassador. And God guides a moving ship, not a parked ship. And so for us to wait for that prompting, but to move when we have it. Fourth, look for favor. There's people who just like you. Genuinely, like, they see you, they light up like, this person thinks I'm better than I am. They're like, it's so good to see you. Like, why does my spouse not talk like that? You know, like, you just have favor with them. And to look for that, to say, I really think that's God-given. And to say, there's people God brings to us. How can we be a blessing to them in return? We have influence. We have relationship that, quite honestly, we didn't deserve. We just have it. Some people just like you, and it's hard to explain that they like you as much as they do. And fifth and finally, to pray for anyone you really desire to see God touch, you pray first. You pray for their heart to be softened. You pray for an opportunity. Prayer definitely needs to precede action. And here's a commitment that I think is really good for us to do. And that's this. I will not talk to my friend about God until I talk to God about my friend. That was really good, Carrie. Would you say that again? Yes, I will. I will not talk to my friend about God until I first talk to God about my friend. Write that down. Put it on your refrigerator. That commitment will change a lot, because prayer doesn't precede the work. Prayer is the work. Prayer has changed my life. And some people I won't even meet until I get to heaven. It was their prayers that really helped change my life. God was changing me, answering prayers that other people were praying for me. and prayer definitely works. Again, I'm for global missions. I've been around the world on several missions. The challenge I see is often it's an excuse to ignore Jerusalem. It's an excuse to ignore what's right in front of us. And I don't know why, but I think for a lot of people, it is absolutely easier to get on a plane and go talk to a bunch of strangers who don't look like them than it is to talk to their next door neighbor who maybe knows some of your junk. I don't know. But for us, you know, part of it too is the, you know, God has brought the world to us, and we are concentrating. So a church may focus on going to Africa, but ignore the fact that there are countless international students at the local university, that we have these opportunities without spending tens of thousands of dollars to really impact people from across the world who might go back and be a light in those nations. Sometimes it is easier to talk to strangers, but again, we can't skip Jerusalem. If I can't minister where I am, then I can't minister, because all I have is where I am, where God has placed me. And so when I'm faithful with what I have, then the biblical principle is perhaps he'll put me in charge of more. And it doesn't say it, but maybe the reverse is true as well. If I'm not, why would he entrust me with more? And so to be responsible with what I have and to start there. Now, I had a second opportunity with Athletes in Action. And it was 5 years out of college. I was finishing a professional season in South Africa. I'm sure you watched me on TV. And I flew to Denver, greeted family, like spent Thanksgiving, and then I was off to Cincinnati where our training camp was. And then we played universities around the U.S., mostly in the Midwest. It was a player's dream because we played 20 games in 30 days. So we were playing games and not having practice, my kind of tour. On that tour, I became a bit disillusioned, a bit discouraged, because the focus was on evangelism, talking to people about Jesus, inviting them to, you know, pray to have the Lord come into their life, take control of their life, to start a relationship with him. And my discouragement was, you know, again, we would maybe have a message at halftime, but we would hang around after. Some people would come for autographs, but it was a chance to, you know, have spiritual conversations with people. And we're playing at Vanderbilt. Any Vanderbilt alum here? No, good, because we beat the pants off of them. Thank you very much. But it's after the game, and I'm talking to a teammate, and I kind of share, like, man, what are we doing? I said, he's like, what? I said, all of the people who come and talk to us after the game, they're already Christians. And a lot of them were crew staff and other campus ministry people and just Christian college students. They would come, and we were talking to them, and we would, you know, we were kind to them, this and that. But again, the whole focus was evangelism. And this teammate very kindly said, Carrie, you've taken all of ministry and you've reduced it down to just evangelism. Ministry is so much more. And, oh, it was a punch. But he did it so gently, and so he was so humble. And I said, you're right. And that's about all I could say, because my mind was just spinning on what he had shared. And the next day, the president, his name was Wendell Deo, the whole president of Athletes in Action International, came and spoke to our team. And he talked about the important role we were playing and how they had crew and AIA staff on these campuses. And he likened it, I know this can be used too much, this war language, and I don't like to use it, but he's like, we're in this battle, we're in this war, and these are our ground troops who are really on the ground trying to advance this message, but you can't win a war just with ground troops. You need air support, and that's what you guys do. You're in a different city every night. You fly in, and the incredible blessing and courage you're given to these ground troops by coming in and having this high profile, and you're filling the stadium and you're highlighting the ministry that they're doing. It's amazing. And oh, it was such a 1-2 punch. And if those two things hadn't happened, I'm sure I would have kind of stayed in that disillusioned state, kind of like, are we really making a difference? You know, I don't know. But my conversations from that point on with some of these campus people was, I mean, I was so intentional to bless them and encourage them and say, man, you're doing a great job. You're making a difference. And again, because my teammate and this president didn't skip Jerusalem, they saw I was part of ministry. Somebody who needed this word of encouragement, a little bit of correction, again, not in a bad way. It was done very lovingly. But I had grown weary. And, you know, a lot of times we, as churches, will talk about outreach. And, you know, I know some of our people have been to the churches where when you're leaving the parking lot, there's a sign that says you are now entering the mission field. That's okay if it's a two-way sign, because you're entering the mission field when you come into church as well. Why? Because I'm there and I'm pretty needy, because life kicks me around sometimes and I need that kind word. And so for us to broaden this and think about it. So as we land the plane, here are some questions to think about. What's the Jerusalem that you're overlooking? Who's that person that you see, but the Lord really wants you to see? Maybe it's in the neighborhood. Maybe it's somebody you're in a small group with. Maybe it's somebody here tonight that you go to church with. But Jerusalem's not far away. It's right in front of us. And one other thing I really need to share is, a lot of us need to know you are making a huge difference. Galatians 6:9 says, don't grow weary in well-doing, because if you do not give up, you will reap a harvest. And you need to know, like, you do grow weary. That's why the scripture's there. We do grow weary in well-doing, and we don't see that we're making a difference, and we need to be reminded. And so take a moment and realize that some of you are like that teammate who gave that gentle correction and just gave me a brand new perspective that just so encouraged me. Some of you were like that ministry president who came in and just full of encouragement to validate the actions that you're doing and what a difference you're making in the lives of others. And I've been ministered so much by people of Fawn Lake Church. And if you're visiting tonight, I mean, I can't say enough nice things about these people. There's a few of crusty people, and they're both here tonight, but I won't point them out. But most of them are so loving. And the words, like, a lot of times we think kind thoughts, but we don't vocalize it. The people of Fawn Lake Church take the time to actually say what's on their heart and on their mind. And again, it's put great wind in my sails. And so, just for us to realize, every believer is a minister. Every believer is a missionary. Whether you signed up or not, you did sign up when you started walking with the Lord. And people are listening to you. They are watching you. You are representing the King. And again, you don't need a passport. You don't need to cross a border. You might, but you probably just need to cross the room. All you have is where you are, and that's where you bloom. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for counting us worthy to choose us as ambassadors God, give us spiritual eyes to see our Jerusalem. Give us grace and confidence and faith, not guilt for the past, but love for today. God, take us afresh as vessels. Let your love pour through us to others. For the weary, send a word. For the wandering, bring them back. Give us courage to cross the room and bloom where we're planted. Make us a people of prayer and action in that order. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.